Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, we truly want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are glad that you're here, and we hope that any time that you're able to come out and worship with us in spirit and truth, I want you to know it is our very prayer that you do just that. It's so good to be home here with the saints. Me and my wife appreciate your prayers, your concerns, phone calls, and cards during our time of bereavement. We're just so thankful for our family here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. With that being said, let us always remember to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping the main thing the main thing, loving one another as Christ has commanded us to, having a zeal and a desire for the Word of God, having a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business, and truly understanding the grace of our God. And with that being said, through the ups and through the downs, through the wins and the losses, know this, that Jesus loves you, and so do I. And I want you to know there is nothing you can do about that. A new survey from creditcards.com found nearly 47% of Americans have one unused gift card, voucher, or store credit, totaling the number to $21 billion. That's about $65 per person in the U.S. Now, I really want you to think about that for a moment. This is money, saints, that has already been spent. And all it takes is for the recipient to go and use it, and yet many choose not to. So just for a second, how many of us has gift cards at the house we haven't used yet? Yes, quite a few of us. On average, a person has $175 unspent gift cards, vouchers, or store credit. And this is about a $61 jump from 2021. Seriously, many forget that they have it. Many forget that it's even in their possession, or simply never get around to using it at all. The same could be said for God's many promises to his children. There are more than 3,000 promises that God has made to those that love him and obey him, seek after him. But sadly, like these gift cards, we do not take advantage of those gifts or promises because we simply sometimes forget that we have them. This journey, saints, that we call life can be exhausting, amen? But know this, no matter what Satan throws our way, our God is greater, and every single promise he has made to us is true. So for a little while this morning, I want you to open up your hearts and your minds, because I want to encourage you to continue to stand firm. Do not give out and keep fighting the good fight of faith. As I speak on the subject this morning, relying on God. Our text today tells us that God has great purpose in the tragedies and disasters of this world. Psalms 46 was written in the context of difficulties and uncertainties. And as the writer's world crumbles down all around him, he wrote, "God is my refuge and strength." These words, saints, reflect an intimate relationship that we all can have with God. as well as receiving God's protection, position, and power. Only when we make God our greatest treasure. Now, the word strength reminds us that our true protection comes from God. Now, God is our strength. And the phrase, very present help, tells us something very important, that God is with us, and he will always be ready and available to be our refuge, our strength. And in this context, the word trouble here speaks of struggle, affliction, and tribulation. Beloved, this journey on this time side of life is to truly having the mindset to get to heaven. God's plan for us and our lives is to get us to heaven. But make no mistake that God is not the only one who has plans for you. Satan also has plans. I think it is truly important for us to be reminded that Satan's plan is to simply destroy us, distract us from God's promises, and take our eyes off the roadmap that keeps us on the pathway to heaven. His plans are filled with what I call spiritual landmines. And these landmines are filled with things like death, disappointment, discouragement, disease, disaster. It's a road of deadly, damaging things filled with anxiety, depression, the fear of death, the lack of faith. And it's no wonder why we struggle and feel defeated at times. Now, many of you know that I am a true sports fan and a diehard Georgia Bulldog fan. Go Dawgs. But I want you to know yearly, think about this, yearly, sports teams pour hours and hours and hours into looking into footage of their opponent. Why? To simply find weaknesses so they can defeat them. It's perfectly thought out if you think about it. It is really a tailored strategy to find out what the weaknesses are. What are the reoccurring things that they do not do well? Let's focus on those things, exploit those things, and defeat them. Does this sound like somebody we know? Yeah. Yes, the old devil himself. Satan is doing the same thing with us. He knows all of our weaknesses. He is very familiar with your past. He knows your fears. He knows the defeats. He knows about the heartache. He knows about the pain. And his job is to review the hours and hours of tape of the things that are going on in your life so that he can devise a plan to defeat you. His design is to bring negative consequences and thoughts into our lives. But over in 1 Peter, the Bible reminds us in chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, that Satan is our adversary. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that these same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You're not alone. You ever heard the phrase, the devil is busy? It's not something we say because it sounds provocative. If you think about it, if all of us are serving God and having our minds focused, he's busy watching all of the individual tapes to bring us down. He's very busy. But I want you to be encouraged because the infallible word of God says this. He says, casting all of your anxieties on him. He didn't say just a little bit. Give me some of it. He didn't say, well, I can just only take on a little bit at a time. He says, cast all of them, not some, and especially not the ones you think you can take care of. So we have to think about this in terms of how do we keep our minds focused? How do we stay on the road and avoid the spiritual landmines that Satan throws our way? Well, we first must humble ourselves, as we are told, under the mighty hand of God. And after we do that, we must cast all of our anxieties on God. And as we do that, we have to be sober-minded and watchful, resisting the devil. And standing firm, saints, in our faith. Standing firm in our faith. Not in our fears, but in our faith. When God is our greatest treasure, as Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 tells us, it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He won't leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Today we read that in times of struggle, in times of tragedy, in times of heartache, in times of pain, in times of catastrophic things that take place in our lives, we have the word of God that says we can trust in the providence of God's sovereign presence. And this providence, God allows us to embrace the truth that we are never in the grip of blind forces such as chance, luck, or fate. All decisions of humanity are under the sovereign purpose of God. And all that happens to us, hear me, fits perfectly into God's plan. Which means that every event in your life, hear this, every event in your life is a new opportunity for you to trust God more, to obey him more, to trust him more, and rejoice in God, knowing that all of this is for our good and for God's glory. So you say, how then do we learn to rely on God? How can we fully rely on him? Well, the first thing we must do is altogether trust God. You have to get to a place where you trust God more than you trust yourself. You know, sometimes, and often many times, we go through needless things, if we can be honest with ourselves this morning. Sometimes we put ourselves in the dire situations that we are in, that we've been through, and that we are going to go through. We all, saints, have some turmoil in our lives. We all have some type of stress in our lives. We all have some type of fractured relationship and some healing that we have to go through in our lives. But could some of those things that we are experiencing can be self-inflicted wounds? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you why. Because we are trying to do God's job. It is not your job to do or be God. It is your job to be obedient and trust in God. The problem is you want to do it your way and not God's way. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, I can handle this. I can take care of this. Let me move God out of the equation and let me take care of it. Especially if it's small things, you know, to us. Like, I can handle this. There's no need for me to go to God. There's no reason for me to pray about it. There's no reason for me to trust him. I can handle this. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, come to me. He says, come to me. Trust in me enough where you don't depend on yourself. Come to me, all of you who are struggling, all of you who are laboring, all of you who are heavy laden, all of you who are dealing with depression. All of you who are dealing with anxieties, all of you who are dealing with heartbreak and heartache and ailing sicknesses and pains that you deal with, come to me. Take my yoke upon you, not the one that you decide to do yourself, and learn from me. There will be no one more gentle than I will be with you in your situation. There is no one who can understand you better than me. There is no one who can love you more than me. Come to me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your soul. All that anxiety, all that stress, I can give you the rest that you truly desire. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's amazing that we make the burden that he is willing to make light heavier because we try to do it on our own. This verse shows us that God's intentions are good for us. It tells us what his intentions truly are for his children. He says it right here. These are my intentions. I want you to trust me. I will do all the things that you need, but I need you to rely on me fully and totally. It's not to weigh you down, saints. We have to change that mindset. It's not to weigh you down, but to give you rest. You have to believe and trust that God has a purpose for every single one of you in here, individually and collectively. He has a purpose. It isn't an unbearable burden that he's trying to give you. I'll tell you this. Whatever God is doing with you in your life, no matter how heavy you think it is the appropriate weight. It is exactly the appropriate weight that you need in order for you to be strong enough to oversee, go through those things that are tearing you down in your life. I know exactly what you need. I know how much it takes. Case in point, I call myself going back to the gym. I thought that I could just roll right on in there and do it just like I did it before, trying to hang around with these young butts. I'm no longer a spring chicken, but I found that out the next day. Went right in there. I put on a 45, put on a 45. Well, he put on a 45. Well, I put on another 45. He gonna add a 10, I can add a 10. Got up there, did all that. Then after a while, I was like, oh, mind, brain, kicking in, reality. Oh, I can't do this like I used to. And then have the nerve to go over to a bench by myself. I can handle this. I don't need no spotter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you take that weight off of it. And then you put it in, hit you, boom, you go. And then you hoping, you looking. Somebody help me. See, I can't even scream. Please, somebody get it off of me. My point is this. You have the appropriate weight that you need right now to make you as strong as you need to be to overcome the challenges in your life. If you just trust God and the appropriate amount of pressure he's putting on you to take you to the next level in your relationship with him. But the problem is you go to the bench by yourself without your spiritual spotter. And you decide that I'm going to do this or that on my own. And then you find yourself having more weight than God intended for you to have in the first place. You don't have to accomplish this alone. I don't know why, for some reason, the human fallacy that we have that I can do this. I don't need anybody. I don't need any help. I can figure this out. But if it's rest you want from the burdens in your life, the anxieties that you have, the fears that you have, the lack of faith that creeps in and out, we must only come to Jesus to get that. But not only come, saints, let's be for real. It ain't just coming to Jesus. It's staying with him. Everybody has come to Jesus. I had a come to Jesus moment, and that's great. But are you still with him? We can't give up when the going gets tough. You can't throw your hands up, say, I'm done with this. I don't have anything left, but I know what it feels like. Let me tell you something that a lot of us are doing. You cannot allow, hear me, your happenings to determine your happiness. I'll say it again. You can't allow the happenings in your life, the things that are happening in your life, determine your relationship with God, determine your joy that you're supposed to be filled with. You can't allow that. Because simply and frankly, God never promised you happiness. Let's go keep it real. God never promised you happiness. Happenings, the things that are going on in your life, are changing all the time. Okay? You're in and out of things. Your emotions are up and down. People that you love are falling by the wayside. You're seeing all types of things going on in this world. And so my point is, if your trust is anchored in your happenings of life, it will make you unhappy because it's disappointing. God never promised you happiness. But joy, on the other hand, is something quite different. Joy is long-lasting. It's not based on your happenings. It's based on something that God has promised, and that is joy. In Romans chapter 14, verses 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, happenings, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we all know, based on our faith and what the infallible word of God says, that there will be joy in heaven. So we can have joy with expecting waiting to get to heaven. We can have joy in the eternal life that awaits us after death. The constant knowledge of our salvation and God's love for us, what he did for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall have eternal life. We ought to have joy in that. Even in your circumstances and the things that you're dealing with right now. But in order to do this, saints, it's something that we have to really focus on, and that is turning off the noise. We got to turn off the noise. Too many of us, as believers, and those in the world, are so in tune with social media that it has become their new Bible. These avenues of information were created to persuade and control our thinking. You think about it. People are complaining, oh, you spend so much time on the internet and on your phone and on your tablet and on this and on that, and it's transforming you, it's changing you. You're beginning to think and act like, and it's controlling you and shaping you in ways you can't imagine. You spend hours on that. Now let's reverse it. It's this thing called the Word of God that you can't put down. And every time I see you, all I see is the Word of God. It's attached to you. All you do is talk about it, and it's changing you. It's shaping you. But not for the bad, but for the good and for God's glory. We spend too much time on that and less time in the Word of God. And you wonder why you're frustrated. You wonder why you're going through all these things. You wonder why you're having issues with your lack of faith or even if God even exists. So much mess on the internet, confusing you, making you think that it's this or that. The truth is, this world and everything in it has been a mess ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God and rejected God in the Garden of Eden. Over that one single act of sin, God pronounced his judgment of death over everything and everyone. And in the same breath, God is also mercifully and graciously and lovingly giving us a promise to send a Savior into a world to take on God's judgment, in which was for us and which we deserve, of the death of our sin upon himself. And Jesus came into the world, died on the cross to clean up our mess that we created in the beginning. But while God sent Jesus into the world, he fulfilled his promises. We still experience the mess of sin on earth. That's just a fact of it all, saints. Right? We're still going to deal with this in the flesh continually and on a regular basis. So I need you to understand that will never go away. But also, what else shouldn't go away is your joy, your love, your peace, your trust, and your reliance on God. And the only time this will change for us is until Jesus comes back to take us home. To truly, really experience that. And listen, let me tell you something. You know, they always, I'm not against it. I'm not saying one way or the other if it's real. You know, they always finding new artifacts, new manuscripts, you know, all these things. That's great and fine. You know, what's on Mars and third planets, you know, that exist that we can inhabit. All of that is fine. But I want you to ask yourself this one question. What does that have to do with salvation? What does that have to do with what God has already done for you? The promises that he has already made to you. What he has laid out as a biblical map to get to heaven, that he's given to you freely, a gift of salvation, an opportunity of everlasting life. None of that has to do with that. Now listen, faith is about believing in what you cannot see. Not what is seen. And God is the creator of everything that is and ever was and ever will be. And our security, our faith in God should not only be first and foremost, but our safety in his word while we're here on earth. So I'm telling you that you need to get off social media and get into the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, it says, your words were found, and I ate them. Not social media. Not critics. Not what's the happening thing. What motivational speaker is speaking at this time, or which one is hot. He says, your words, I ate those, and your words became my joy. Not what the doctor said. Not what your family members are doing to you, not the heartaches that you're experiencing, not the deaths in your family that are constantly happening, not the sicknesses that you constantly deal with. The words of God became my joy. I rely on the word of God. My security is in my faith in God. My safety is in my faith in God. And he says, your words became joy and a delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I'm telling you to put your hope confidently in God, in the one who knows everything. He knows everything about your past, your present, and your future. And yet we continue to try to rely on ourselves. We got to rely on God. We got to get to know Jesus more and more each day by studying his word, coming to Bible study, getting involved in the things that we know we need to get involved in, because then we get a balanced perspective, making sense and sure of what we're understanding properly of what doing what he says, knowing how to handle the stresses and the pressures of life. Since I'm very aware of all the things that are going on, all of us are experiencing things. All of us are going through some things. But I told you, the devil is busy, and he understands what's happening here at South Fayette Church of Christ. And I need for us to be on board and understand that he's going to fire every dart. He knows. He's studying the tape. He's going to rewind some things and go back. And he's going to say, hey, you remember this. I'm going to show you that you struggled in this. You remember that you went through this. And it's a hard time for you now. You don't have to trust God. Trust in yourself. You don't need a little faith. Just call somebody else to help you besides God. That's his plan. But Jesus says we are blessed when we are doers of his word, believers of his word, and one who acts in his word, not just hearers, but doers. Then watch, saints, watch how God will gradually remove the roadblocks, the pitfalls in your life. And I all understand, and I think we all do too, that this doesn't happen overnight. No, because life is a lifelong road. But we can trust in him. We can trust in him more and more. So what we have to do is trust less of ourselves and trust more of him. And I believe when you do that, you will begin to see the shift, the transformation of you not depending more about what you see happening around you, but what God has already promised you. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, I have said these things to you that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have some heartaches, but I want you to take heart. I have overcome the world. Peace is found in Christ. And you're not going to get that peace that you desire anywhere else. You ain't gonna find it in money because it'll run out. You ain't gonna find it in drugs or alcohol because you're gonna come down off of that high and reality will still be there. You won't find it in a relationship, in a woman or a man, because they will let you down. Relationships end. People pass on. You can't put your faith in that. You have to put your trust and your faith in God. And in order to do that, you got to keep your eyes on the goal. My last point, in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, the infallible word of God says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Are you allowing tribulation to separate you from our God? Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but that is an encouraging word that we ought to stand on. We see tribulation, distress, persecution, and famine, and nakedness, people in need, danger all around us, war, hatred, happenings every day, murderers are happening every day, kids are being kidnapped. We see all of this. And should we allow that to stop us from having that personal relationship with God, relying on God, separate us from God? No, the answer is no. The goal is heaven. Heaven is our home. Listen, I don't know if you figured this out yet, but this place that we live in currently ain't no prize. And we act like it's a prize to be won. No, heaven is. That ought to be your focus. This is not our home. Heaven is. All this filth, wickedness, and hatred, and you think this is a prize? Your only focus is gaining this world? Being happy in this life alone? No, ma'am, no, sir, beloved. Your faith ought to be in Christ. Nothing, and I mean nothing, should defer us from the plan and the goal of heaven. Nothing. Nothing. And no one. You know, I think we can all understand the premise of this. And I'll close. We see athletes prepare for the Olympics. And when you're talking about the Olympics, we're talking about the best of the best. We ain't talking about subpar. We ain't talking about average. We're talking about the best of the best. And they spend countless hours of training with a single focus in mind. And that focus is to win the gold medal. In order to reach a goal, saints, you got to have a plan. You can't reach a goal without a plan. And God has laid out a plan for your life and a single focus, which is heaven, that we can achieve if we truly and fully rely on the word of God and his promises and be obedient to either he returns or till we die. So why should we be any different than the Olympic trainers? Our goal is heaven. Theirs is a gold medal. Our goal is heaven. Theirs is prestige. Our goal is heaven. And our security is to be in Christ Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and King. He is with us in times of trouble. We can trust in his love. We can trust in his providence, his sovereign presence because of his position, the Lord of hosts, and his power, the God of Jacob, and his protection is our fortress. In Psalms 124 and verse 8, King David wrote, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. One thing that I know, that God's promises are true. Just don't close them up in this book. Rely on them. Trust them. Believe them. Have faith in them. Live it, believe it, and trust it. And you will find joy and peace while you await on the glorious day that we can get home again. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you have not totally and fully surrendered and said, you know what, I want to do something different. You have an opportunity to do something different. Stop relying on yourself and start relying on God. I can't tell you how many times that I relied on myself and did not rely on God. Yes, the preacher relied on himself instead of relying on God. And I'm going to let you know something else. I ain't always been a preacher. I was a sinner. A liar and a cheat. Fearful. Double-minded. Not able to stand in my truth. Compromising my salvation to win this, to fit into this. No, today is your day to change that mindset. Put on Christ, die to yourself, your old thinking, your old way of operating, and put Christ on and wear him every day of your life. And if you are a Christian and you wishy-washy and you don't know which way is up, your faith is wavering, you don't even know what's going on anymore, you have given up and you've allowed the devil to run the tape over and over in your mind, reminding you of how you used to be, the struggles that you have, you can change that and put your faith back into the God that loved you first. So if you're here this morning and you desire to stop playing this game, which I call spiritual roulette, and change your perspective and fully rely on God, you can do that this morning as together we stand and together we sing.